Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Wednesday morning. We're going to jump right in here because we have an agenda chock full of stuff today, and we want to get right to it. It's National Joe Day, so I guess it's appropriate that we talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans Council Member, District A. Joe, have you had that cup of coffee yet?
I'm on number two, Newell.
So you're celebrating National Joe Day in a big way then, right?
Yeah, as always, without a doubt.
Joe, the Louisiana Supreme Court rules in favor of the council that they have standing, that they are an independent body and therefore allowed to litigate issues specifically with the mayor of the city of New Orleans. Tell us where we are in this case and where are we headed.
Well, where we are is exactly what you just said. My law school professor would be in my head saying, remember, the limited holding in this case is the council has the capacity to bring a lawsuit in the Wisner litigation. That is the holding of the case and what is said directly. But Newell, there's a lot of important principles that are in the opinion overall. The Supreme Court notes that the trust for Wisner was established in 1914. It also notes that the Fourth Circuit back in 2014 found that the trust had expired after 100 years. And I think really goes out of its way to say a very common sense principle, which is where there is a bona fide dispute between the mayor and the council, and the council thinks the mayor has acted illegally or done something wrong, then who but the council is there to protect the rights of the citizens? So it's a significant win in the sense that now we don't have to worry about who's going to prosecute the case and make sure we're protecting the huge amount of assets that are in the Wisner Trust, over $100 million. And now what we're going to have to do is a few things. Number one, we've won recently on the issue of whether or not the heirs were entitled to a tax disbursement. The heirs, I assume, are going to litigate and continue to litigate whether or not the injunction that prohibited the distribution of the revenues is valid. But most importantly, Newell, my hope is the heirs will put down their arms, although I doubt they will. But we'll have to go to court really soon and do a couple of things. Number one, we will ask the court as a matter of law to say that the trust has expired and that the assets belong to the city. And given that the Fourth Circuit has ruled on this already, it was very clearly litigated, everybody had a right to participate in that, we're going to win on that issue. And then number two, that the ratification agreement that was signed by the mayor in 2020 that extended the trust indefinitely is therefore what's called in the law an absolute nullity. All that means is it has no effect whatsoever. And then, Newell, I think we're also, and I've said this before on your show, but I think we're getting closer and closer to doing this. If we have to continue litigating this and unfortunately expending city funds because the heirs make everything so much harder, we're going to amend the lawsuit and we're going to seek disgorgement of all of the proceeds that we're legally entitled to for the last several years, or as far back as we possibly can, and try and collect that money on behalf of the citizens of New Orleans and use it for the public good. So it's strange because it is a limited holding that just says the council is an independent legal entity that in this instance has the capacity to sue. But really, it opens up the doors for the council to be able to really prosecute this case full bore and make sure the residents of New Orleans get what they're entitled to.
Why would there be a desire to settle with these people at all? And I'm kind of curious, from a legal strategy, why not have an extraordinary hearing under declaratory judgment as to whether or not the mayor was in violation of the city charter? Because my understanding, if based on conversations you and I have had on air, is that the charter says that this type of arrangement has to go to the council for approval, which it did not. So therefore, she may have presumed authority, but she doesn't have actual authority to enter into this agreement. And if you start there, with eliminating any possibility that she had the authority to enter in such an agreement, it would seem to me I would move straight to disgorgement. And you want to bring them to the table? Let's go to disgorgement first and go collect the monies after, you know. And, of course, they're going to have a detrimental reliance defense. But based on all of the litigation history there, I think that falls flat on its face.
I think they have a huge problem. And look, I'm not opposed to doing everything simultaneously. Candidly, I feel like we've given the heirs as much breath and rope as we possibly can. And unfortunately, they keep on litigating and making everything harder. To your point, at the oral argument on this last opinion, one of the justices asked, well, wait, how can you heirs have relied on the mayor signing of this? There was no resolution that was passed. You all know the council didn't take any action. So the justices are already thinking about this. And I guess if I didn't say it as directly, let me say it now. I really think this opinion lays out a framework for potentially where the court is headed. And it's just that the 2020 agreement, they call it a potential absolute nullity. Obviously, the court realizes this issue will likely be before it soon. And look, I think that's what we are going to discuss. We have executive session on Tuesday as a council to talk to our lawyers, and we're going to look at all of our options to try and bring the litigation to an end as quickly as possible. And as I've said before, I don't want to have to go the disgorgement route because I prefer to get everything wrapped up. But if the heirs say we're going to fight you to the bitter end, then I have no problem getting on the table earlier rather than later. And the specter of millions of dollars hanging over their heads. And then, Newell, the other thing, too, is think about this. If the heirs fight on the disgorgement part, we're going to get discovery into all of that. And did you file your taxes? Has everything been reported to the federal and state government? What did you do the way that you were supposed to? And do the heirs really want to go through all of that and have all of their financial information as part of this record is going to be an open question.
And I don't think that's onerous at all, quite frankly. And I'll tell you why. I always thought that 100 years meant 100 years. And I didn't know that there was an exception to the 100 years. Their expectation is that they would receive this and it would be in place for 100 years, right?
So, that's right.
I don't understand where all of a sudden we want to make 100 years in perpetuity, and what right they think they have the ability to really take public monies in perpetuity. I mean, how do you come into any court in good faith and say, oh, well, we're entitled to this in perpetuity? Really? How does that work?
Well, the problem is no one wants to give up free money. This is like everybody's life motto. How do I work less and get more? And from that standpoint, I get it. But what you're really saying is a deal is a deal. And the deal was you had 100 years. You benefited on the proceeds of all of this. This expired in 2014. We are now 10 years past this. This is far past time to wind up the assets. And this isn't a deal between two private actors. This is now municipal city funds that can be going to municipal city needs. And part of that is being siphoned off for people who are not entitled to it, who don't live here and aren't benefiting the residents directly. Why are we keep on arguing about this? I don't understand. And yes, I agree that whatever we can do in summary fashion, which just means expedited, how do we make this go quickly, is what we're going to be focused on and making sure that we can bring this problem to heel and get it settled. And by settled, I mean resolved as quickly as possible.
And I guess it's safe to say that one of the possible motivations for the mayor in doing what she did and circumventing what the city charter actually provides for relative to situations like this was in order to gain access to the dollars, not be tied up in litigation, to fund her Forward Together New Orleans not-for-profit, where she hoped that she would be able to direct that and there would not be degrees of separation in the management of saying, which now we've had to slap her hand on that issue. That has gone by the wayside. It's now a defunct organization. And now what she actually did is she sold the taxpayers in the city down the river for the sake of something that was going to benefit her, and we're not the better for it. Fair?
Well, yes, because part of our lawsuit is this all has to be done publicly. Whatever's happening with this money, it is a public money, and the money has to be used. And so part of what we're also claiming is city and Wisner board, you cannot operate in the shadows with this funding. And then, well, the second piece of this is what once we win, not if, but when, what do we do with the asset after that? I don't know the answer to that, but I think what we need to do is hire a first-rate firm, do an RFP, and they need to tell the city this is the best way for us to do it. And then how do we use that money for the needs that, whether they range from beautification to nonprofits to infrastructure, all these things that the mayor's office said that they're supposed to go for, we use that for the city and not hidden behind closed doors and not knowing what's happening.
Well, I think if you were to put it out to a vote, people are going to say infrastructure. They're not going to say let's finance culture bearers. They're not going to say let's get off on whatever ideological project that the mayor wants to go based on her whim. They're going to say we want water off our streets. We want clean water in our pipes. And by the way, every now and again, a pothole getting filled would be nice, too. That would be my suspicion.
I think you're right about that. And I also strongly believe in if I have other revenue sources available and I don't have to keep on tapping into the public to pay for those, that's the direction we need to be pointed in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very disappointing. I don't know who these people are. I just don't know how in good conscience you continue doing this, right? And we have some sophisticated organizations that are the beneficiary of these dollars too.
We do. And look, I have had very high level discussions directly with some of those institutions and said to them, we have so many other things that we need to be working on to benefit the city. We really would like to make sure that you are out of the way, because it is important to me that when you have these institutions, they're your partners and that you're not fighting with each other. And look, the bottom line, I'll say it, everybody's been on a gravy train for 100 years. It's over. Now we need to move forward and we need to make sure that the city's needs are being tended to, and that whether you're an institution or whether you're an heir, it's time to realize everything is finalized and your portion is done and the city gets those proceeds and the assets to better the city.
You know, what's really disappointing is that there's a group of recipients, right, that are receiving this money really contrary to Edward Wisner's desires, right?
Well, he never contemplated
a good number of these people ever receiving any proceeds from his trust. And, you know, I always like to start there. And it's always interesting to me how courts rewrite what the intent of the testator is, I guess. Is that the right term? You know, in this regard. I mean, it's like, okay, really?
Well, and look, obviously, you and I weren't around for the politics in the 1920s where politicians decided that the Wisner heirs had spent their money too quickly and something needed to be done. That's all in my rearview mirror. The bottom line for us, though, is the deal is what it has been. Everybody has recognized that the trust ended 10 years ago. And candidly, we're not a year or two past the trust ending. We are a decade. And it has been so long that the beneficiaries have been unduly benefiting from an asset that belongs entirely to the city. And that's always been all my argument to the city, is why, when we are entitled to 100 cents on the dollar or 100% of the pie, are we giving up such a large portion to everybody else? It belongs entirely to the residents. Let's take back what belongs to us. And we're always, while I'm rolling, we're always crying about we don't have money, we need the state to give us more money, we need the federal government to give us more money. This is a way for us to help ourselves. And this is a huge piece of the puzzle. And with Port Fouchon being at the heart and the crown jewel of all of this, how we market that to make sure that, along with that asset and others that are part of this now dissolved, expired, extinct trust, how we put all that back into the city's coffers and make it work for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, Port Fouchon's a pretty stable investment. I wish I had it.
Yes. Well, it's look, no, I mean, it's an incredible asset for the city of New Orleans to own, and we have to make sure that we maximize it to the best of our ability. And like I said, I know that there are going to be arguments about how we get money from what source, what's going to happen, how do we do everything. I guess what I just don't ever understand is when you have an available source of revenue for yourself that you are entitled to, why you don't want to make sure you're not maximizing every penny of it, and particularly when it belongs entirely to the city.
Joe, I wanted to give you an opportunity. I know you wanted to opine on sewage and water board at this point in time. We only have a couple minutes, if you would.
Yeah, well, I think, look, the governor's report is coming out today. I think the things that we're the most interested in with sewage and water board are the reforms the council has been talking about for a long time. And the biggest one for me, Newell, is what we can do with billing. Senator Harris and Representative Hilferty have offered some bills that would put in place a special master. And all that is a fancy term for an accounting firm or a law firm to come in and just go through the sewage and water board's billing process and get them cleaned up over the next couple of years. I am tired. I know residents are tired of bills that make absolutely zero sense, that are not tied to reality. And for whatever reason, is it because of resources? Is it because of management? Is it because of the personnel, the system? It's irrelevant to me at this point. The billing needs to be solved. And we need to make sure that we have people who are equipped to help solve it. And my guess is there's going to be some recommendations about how to improve process for sewage and water board too, and maybe even for Department of Public Works. Whatever we can do to make things run more smoothly, more efficiently is incredibly important to me, and I really want to make sure more than anything else that residents have faith that when they get a bill, either that it's right, and if it's not right, that it can be resolved in a matter of maybe 4 to 5 days and not 6 months before they get some sort of relief.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We know you're busy. We appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
Same to you. Take care.
All right. That's Joe Geruso, Council Member, District A. We will be right back. On the text line, folks are saying, why don't you disclose who the beneficiaries are? Well, there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of them. If you just Google the Edward Wisner Trust beneficiaries, I'm sure you'll find the names. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.